This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Lynn Dubinsky. Lynn is the Vice President of Client Engagement and Impact with Guide Dogs for the Blind. Hey there, Lynn. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Thank you so much, Gary. I'm delighted to be here.
Great. So I get to the great opportunity to talk to Guide Dogs for the Blind quite often. It's just a fantastic organization. But for those people who maybe aren't familiar with Guide Dogs for the Blind, tell us about it and also tell us about its ties to Portland.
Yes, absolutely. So Guide Dogs for the Blind, we are the largest guide dog school in North America, and we have about 2,000 active guide dog teams in the field right now. But since our inception, since 1942, we have graduated more than 16,000 teams. And for these last 80 years, Guide Dog for the Blind's mission has expanded. People, when they think of us, really just think about our guide dog program. But I also want to raise people's awareness that we also have our orientation mobility program, as well as a canine buddy program. And so to that end, Guide Dogs for the Blind improves mobility for its clients, and it furthers inclusion and advocates for policy reforms. So our hope is to really change people's awareness about how they view blindness. And another thing about Guide Dogs,
go ahead, please. Continue.
One of the things I wanted to say that's different about our Guide Dog School is that we provide unparalleled support to clients, and we also don't charge anything for our services. So we rely on generosity of donors to provide for our services, and that even includes veterinary financial assistance and a dedicated field service support when somebody has their guide dog and is in the field, as well as an alumni association. And then you asked about Portland, and so Guide Dogs for the Blind, we operate two training facilities. One is headquartered in San Rafael, California, which is about 20 miles north of San Francisco. And then our other campus is in Boring, Oregon, which is about 25 miles east of Portland. And in Oregon, we have a passionate community of instructors, puppy raisers, donors, and volunteers that serve that community.
Yeah, anybody around the Portland area that heads up to Mount Hood, Boring is on the way, and you can see the big sign, "Turn here for Guide Dogs for the Blind." That's where the campus is. So it's a visual that everybody that's ever gone to Mount Hood has seen before. So before we started this conversation, Lynn, you said you're relatively new to the organization. So tell me about your past and how you came to Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Yes. So I have been with Guide Dogs for the Blind just about 13 months, and my title is Vice President of Client Engagement and Impact. And prior to this, I worked at a Southern California organization, Braille Institute, and for about 20 years. And what I will say, and I was managing education programs in their Santa Barbara Center and then the center in the main headquarters in Los Angeles. And I will say over those 20 years, when the clients who I had the pleasure of knowing and working with those who had guide dogs, watching their trajectory toward being more independent was a very different journey. Again, not a negation of people who have cane skills, which are, you know, so foundationally important, but I saw a different trajectory, and I had long wanted to be with Guide Dogs for the Blind, a passion for their mission, a passion for the relationship between people and dogs. And so when this position came available, I threw my hat in the ring, and so happy to be here. I'm in support of the mission and moved from Southern California to the Bay Area to be in this role.
Excellent. So what is your main focus as Vice President of Client Engagement and Impact?
Yes. So we have the other two programs, Canine Buddies and our Orientation Mobility Immersion Program, we sometimes refer to the client side as the other side of the harness. So in my role, it is supporting clients. So this is, I will tell you, it's a client outreach. It's our client support services, admissions, the two residential programs, so the one here in California as well as the one in Oregon, as well as our youth services and advocacy, and overseeing the alumni program. So those are the areas that I am supporting in my role.
Well, let's talk about more about the alumni. Are those people, dogs, or both?
That's a good question. When we talk about our alumni, we are talking about those who graduated from our programs. And and that would be any of our programs. So you are part of the Alumni Association if you have graduated from those three programs. And I'll tell you, I'll just read to you just the Alumni Association vision. The Alumni Association vision will use the power of partnering to improve the quality of life by building strong, sustainable community of support among our 2,200 alumni. And we work to support alumni success with their guides and relationships with others contributing to the GDB community. So we are very much about building community with our alumni association. And some of the things that this alumni association is able to do is they are opportunities for mentoring, for networking and advocacy, and being more actively involved in our mission and helping others who may not be aware of how to benefit from our services. So in some ways, kind of being out in the community representing the work that we do.
Tell me a little bit more about the mentoring. Is that other visually impaired people helping other people? Is that what it is?
It is. A lot of it is peer support. So being able to, even though, again, as I mentioned earlier, we offer support in the field with our field service support, we also have people connecting with one another. They can kind of share some of the things that they are maybe encountering, especially around advocacy, which I, you know, can talk to more or speak to more rather. So it's being able to connect about those things. One of the silver linings of the pandemic, if there are silver linings, is that some of the barriers around being able to connect remotely have been, you know, kind of broken down a bit. So people can join any of our alumni chapters. It's no longer just that you would maybe have an alumni chapter in Chicago or an alumni chapter in San Diego. One can get involved in any of those alumni chapters. So there's more connections kind of across the board.
Okay.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We're talking today with Lynn Dubinsky, Vice President of Client Engagement and Impact with Guide Dogs for the Blind. Now, you touched a little bit just saying the word advocacy. That's a big thing. So let's talk about the Guide Dog for the Blind advocacy efforts and what are you focusing on right now?
So, Gary, the things that we've been focusing on most in the last couple of years really have been around rideshare access and rideshare denials. About a year ago, Guide Dogs for the Blind conducted a study of our guide dog handlers to find out more about their lived experience with rideshare refusals. And when I talk about rideshares, I'm really talking about the two kind of major rideshare companies, Uber and Lyft. So 185 of our guide dog users in the U.S. and Canada, they completed a survey, and we found out that 83% of the respondents have reported being denied service. And so it's a great magnitude, and the numbers and the feedback we get directly from clients is that this issue continues to go up. It doesn't go down. It's a pervasive problem. It affects guide dog users and service dog handlers. And we're working with other like-minded groups to raise awareness on this issue.
What is the pushback that they're getting from rideshare?
So there's a real misunderstanding that a lot of it that we feel has to do with having fake service dogs. So people at this point sometimes can't assess whether or not a genuine guide dog is actually a service dog. So there's this misunderstanding, and there are some rideshare drivers who don't understand that that is actually part of ADA law. That and again, as I mentioned, fraudulent service dogs have exacerbated the problem. People don't understand that it's the law, and that they need to accept people into their rideshares to be able to offer them a ride, to give them a ride that they've been hired to give.
Guide dogs, especially guide dogs for the blind, are pretty easy to spot because they wear those fancy little vests. Is that helpful when getting a rideshare?
You would think, right? It seems obvious to us when somebody's, you know, they have their leather harness and it is branded and says that. But again, people can purchase, you know, these not like the guide dog harness, but a kind of vest that might say service dog or something else, and that they are not an actual service dog. One thing I would like to explain is that with ADA, there are two questions that people are able to ask. The American with Disabilities Act limits service animal related questions to these two. Is the dog a service animal required because of a disability? What work or task has the dog been trained to perform? What's interesting, though, is that those questions can only be asked if it's not obvious what the dog is trained to do. So as you just mentioned, if somebody has a dog and it has the harness, then they should not be asking that question.
Exactly. This is all news to me, and it's astonishing, frankly.
To us as well. And, we supporting clients and being able to advocate for themselves in those situations, helping them be able to navigate the issue with encouraging people to make reports to the rideshare companies themselves, as well as to report this to the Department of Justice, to the DOJ, to their website, so that they can collect the data that they need to be able to hopefully respond to this pervasive problem. One thing I don't think that I mentioned is that there's access challenges for guide dog users, not solely limited to ride shares. We have guide dog users who have given us feedback that they are unable to access other forms of transportation, whether it's buses or trains, but also going into shops, to restaurants, supermarkets, retail settings, sports and fitness facilities, concert venues, education settings, schools and universities, and even places of their own employment. Again, a misunderstanding that it is the law that when people have a legitimate service dog, such as a guide dog, they are able to enter all of those venues and places.
What is being done to educate the rideshare people or the store owner around the ADA requirements?
So, as I mentioned, one of the things would be, again, for somebody who is a guide dog handler, just for them to be able to speak to it, to know what language to use, to know how to be able to frame their response. We have also spoken directly to the rideshare companies to give direct feedback. Unfortunately, we have encountered that some of their efforts sometimes feel like window dressing. They've created educational videos for drivers, but that one can't necessarily enforce whether or not a driver watches the video. It's probably many of us who work here, every time we get into a rideshare, we all feel like we need to educate the driver. So every time I get into an Uber, I ask them, so do you ever pick up people with guide dogs? And, we all have conversations. So raising awareness about the problem. So many people do not know that this is an actual issue. So again, it's a gift to be here talking to you and having more people in the audience understand that this is happening all the time. It's not an anomaly. It happens regularly. And again, one of the things that's aside from it being illegal, one of the things that we find as the biggest problem with this is it's making people question whether or not they want to get a guide dog. A lot of people in our community are aware that it's a problem, and even people who have had guide dogs in the past, they don't want to navigate this. They don't want to know if they can be guaranteed to be picked up. So the emotional impact, the economic impact from being refused a ride, as well as just the psychological and social impact, not knowing if you're going to be able to get to the places that you need to be. And it can be as getting to a grocery store, getting to a job interview, getting to a wedding, going on a date, all of those things that we can assume when we call a rideshare that ride will pick us up and get us where we need to be. So the fact that people may not consider having a guide dog because of this is a real problem for this community.
Yes, I suppose it's nothing you can really anticipate whether the driver is going to accept you or not.
Exactly. And that's part of why it's so difficult. I know that there's been a recent change on one of the rideshare apps where somebody can self-identify whether or not they're traveling with a guide dog. And one of the things that feels problematic with this is that the burden and the onus is on the guide dog handler rather than on the company. Okay. So again, Guide Dogs for the Blind, committed and passionate about continuing to raise awareness to connect with the companies, again, to also, give our direct feedback. And as I mentioned earlier, to make those reports to the Department of Justice. If any of your listeners are interested in this, if they visit our, guide dogs, guidedogs.com website, we have an advocacy page, and it also gives a list of some of the tips that we give to people who are navigating ride shares.
Do you suppose it's just maybe the rideshare people are unaware of the law? Or is it refusal refusal because they don't want an animal in their car?
I laugh just because I feel like I would like to assume that if this is the job that you're doing, that you would know the law. Yeah. But I'm sure there are some people who might not be aware, but there are a lot of people who just flagrantly don't follow the law.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, this is, if you're really opening our eyes, that's for sure. We're talking today with Lynn Dubinsky, Vice President of Client Engagement and Impact with Guide Dogs for the Blind. Now, Lynn, one other challenge that visually impaired people face is unemployment rates are higher. Talk about that.
Yes. So I know I mentioned that we're working to change the perception around people who are blind or visually impaired. I think that there's a really narrow representation of blindness. And so many people don't realize just how capable people who are blind and visually impaired are, or just the kind of breadth and scope of the work that people can do. So one of the things I wanted to share is that there's a longstanding statistic that's generalized to be about 70% of those who are blind or low vision of working age, so you know, between 18 and 64, that this population is underemployed. Some of those numbers change, so I don't want to give an exact number, but what it will say is ultimately unemployment rate among working age blind adults is 3 times higher than the national average of non-disabled active job seekers. So again, like I said, working to change that perception. You know, we have people here that are clients who are, you know, artists and architects and students and teachers and parents and people very much in the world living their lives. And so having a guide dog or having orientation mobility skills, again, what we do is, again, support removing the barriers that make people help support people being more independent and raising the awareness around, you know, some of these misapprehensions about people who are blind and visually impaired. One of the things that we have also developed is a program for young adults between 18 and 24 who have low vision to help them achieve career success, is what we call CCC or Canines, Careers Canines, and oh my gosh, I have to remember what the third C is. I'll get back to you. Oh my goodness. Well, what I will tell you is it's through our American Printing House and the Blind. We are collaborating. The APH, American Printing House, has what they call their Connect Center. And so we've joined forces in creating this Careers in Canine Connections. There's a third C. And that's going to be this summer, just outside of Portland at the Hull Foundation and Learning Center in Sandy, Oregon. And so it's a free week-long program that explores the positive impact of having guide dogs and it within the workplace, and also helping people look to pursue their career aspirations with more confidence.
That's so great. And talk about some other, I know you have some other youth programs. Tell me about some of those.
Yes. So we also have a wonderful youth camp, and it's a free summer camp, and this benefits youth ages 14 through 17. This is also in Sandy, Oregon, and that will be this summer. And in so many ways, it's just as one imagines, just a garden variety summer camp. So it's kids who are, you know, making s'mores, doing archery, swimming, hiking. In the past, I know that we've gone kayaking, all different kinds of just recreation, as well as being in a community of kids where oftentimes, how do I best say this? Oftentimes kids at their school might be the only blind or visually impaired student at their school. So to be around other kids who also are blind and visually impaired and not feel other, just to be in community. And of course, because we're Guide Dogs for the Blind, integrating guide dogs into that summer camp program. So one of the nights, each of the kids will be able to spend the night with a guide dog. They'll go to our Boring campus and visit our veterinary clinic. They'll learn more about the guide dog lifestyle, about, you know, feeding the dog, relieving the dog, grooming the dog, and what that is like. So that actual experiential education. And I want to just let listeners know that the applications for both of those programs, CCC and our camp, are due on or before March 31st. And both of those programs are free of charge, as are all of our programs. So the summer camp is July 28th through August 2nd. And I'm sorry, that's the CCC program. And again, more information on our website, guidedogs.com.
Excellent. Oh, I bet that camp is just something else.
It's so much fun. I mean, kids really connect with one another. A lot of the campers really say that this is just, it's a pivotal experience for them, and they look forward to it in the summer. So it's great. I know that you recently had Kirsten French on, and we partner with the Northwest Association for Blind Athletes, and they led some of the wonderful adaptive rec programs last summer at camp. So again, it's great to have them involved as well.
We talked earlier about how important mentorship is, and I bet some great mentoring happens at camp as well.
Very much so. And again, I know I mentioned with our alumni associate, just that peer support. Again, people supporting one another, having mentorship. At our, I believe it was at CCC last summer, we had a self-defense program. And so people came in to demonstrate self-defense and just that ability to learn self-defense and how it makes one feel empowered and to be able to speak to some of the ways that somebody might feel less so in the world. So again, looking for programs that feel like they have, you know, practical application and again, that community building.
Yeah, so important. Well, Lynn, we've got a couple of minutes left and I want to be able to talk about volunteer opportunities with Guide Dogs for the Blind. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked. So we do need volunteers. Right now, our youth programs, as I've mentioned, they are currently being supported by an amazing pool of volunteers. But one of the areas that we are looking for volunteer support in the Pacific Northwest is with our puppy raising as well as with providing foster care. So again, any information that people want about these two programs, again, encouraging people to reach out to our website, to guidedogs.com, for more details. And the other thing I wanted to share is just encouraging people to go visit the campus in Boring. You know, we have graduations that are open to the community every 2 weeks. I believe that there is a graduation on the Boring campus on February 8th from 1:30 to 2:30. Again, those details can be found on our website. But again, it's a wonderful thing to do as a family to go and visit the campus and see the graduations. I will also say that we have fantastic cooks who make delicious refreshments for those events. So again, and it's just such a lovely, lovely campus, and to be able to see that mission in action and to be able to hear clients talk about what it means to graduate, and whether it's with a guide dog or whether it's from the orientation mobility immersion program, and to talk about what that means for them and that feeling of empowerment and independence.
I've heard there's not very many dry eyes at graduation.
No, there are not. That's true. And I have to say, since I've been here, I regularly attend our graduations. And every time I hear somebody's story, it just reminds me again, just the importance of this mission. And again, hearing their voices. So again, a plug for, puppy raisers, for volunteering, certainly for donations. Again, I know I said it earlier, but it bears repeating. All of our services are free of charge to our clients. And so we rely solely on the generosity of donors. And so just wanted to raise awareness about that as well.
Well, Lynn, thank you so much for all this information and for opening our eyes to some of the challenges that visually impaired and blind people face. It's just, thank you. It's been interesting.
Thank you so much for inviting me on, Gary. I really appreciate being able to talk about Guide Dogs for the Blind and our program.
We've been talking today with Lynn Dubinsky, Vice President of Client Engagement and Impact with Guide Dogs for the Blind. Thanks, Lynn.
Thanks, Gary.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy,
StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.